The last and rather brief thing that I would like to have us be aware of is something that we've not emphasized, but which does need to be acknowledged openly and honestly in regard to the monastic tradition, and indeed to the whole early Christian tradition of how one understands the spiritual life, and that is the broad category of spiritual warfare. The use of military metaphor, of the imagery of warfare, is very ancient. It goes back to the Old Testament. Let's bear in mind the fact that many of the books of the Old Testament come into existence not at the time when Israel is engaging in any warfare. On the contrary, they are written down when Israel is and will then always be, up until modern times, a subject nation, a nation incapable of waging warfare, only capable of being a kind of slave or subject people, subject to the Persians, subject to the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Greeks, the Romans, and then finally to every nation in Europe and in the Far East as well. The war language of the Old Testament is often the angry expression of a subjected people looking back to its own history for metaphors that describe what it is to interiorly struggle in one's relationship really with God and with those who are oppressing one. So even the language of warfare that comes from the Old Testament reflects an inner process of trying to understand what is this battle that I am waging with my own tendency towards sin and with my tendency towards wanting to act out against those who are harming me. The language of spiritual warfare is common in the early church. As we'll see, it's very often expressed in terms of martyrdom and the struggle of the martyrs, and it has to be honestly acknowledged. It exists throughout the spiritual literature of the Christian tradition right down to modern times. And certainly, in its best and most proper use, it involves a transformation of the energy of thumos. It's precisely the issue of the transformation of anger in effective and powerful ways. But there are also ways in which this language can be misunderstood and misapplied and in some ways converted into its opposite. And so I think in our study of the transformation of this energy in monastic sources, we have to be very careful about the way we nuance or use, if we use, this language of spiritual warfare. I've noted in my article, which is taken from an entry in a Dictionary of Christian Spirituality that's very shortly to be published by SCM Press, that there are three things one has to particularly watch out for, and the first is to always point out that in spiritual warfare, the enemy is the demonic, the enemy is the devil, not the brother or the sister, and the battleground is the heart within myself. The battleground is not the community meeting or any other place of confrontation. The real battleground of spiritual warfare is within my own heart, and ultimately the enemy is the demonic. It is not the other person. Second, one finds, unfortunately today, some people speaking about spiritual warfare as if it had primarily to do with strange and exotic spiritual manifestations, struggling with demons that are infesting a house, the sort of thing that one would see in science fiction or in horror movies. People are engaged in a kind of struggle against some sort of metaphysical entities that are making their lives miserable or threatening the world itself. This has nothing whatever to do with the ancient notion of spiritual warfare. And when we find it in the spiritual literature, that's a pretty good indication that this is not good literature to read. The overwhelming conviction of the proper use of this terminology throughout the centuries has always been that spiritual combat occurs every day in every heart as I struggle against my own tendency towards sin in a way that even seems to be violent because I'm struggling against very strong temptations and desires within myself, but it's utterly ordinary and seemingly very banal. It has nothing to do with, you know, great, astonishing, mysterious metaphysical manifestations. It has simply to do with my tendency to overeat or to desire things or people that I shouldn't desire, my tendency to react in wrath towards somebody who's bothering me. To imagine that spiritual warfare has to do with something very dramatic is to take it out of the context where it belongs and to put it into the realm of fantasy. So it's very important that it be regarded as an activity that takes place precisely in, almost exclusively in, the ordinary events of daily life. And the third is that when we speak of spiritual warfare, we have to be aware that the victory is always Christ's. We become Pelagians. We become people who don't believe in original sin or forget our reliance on grace. If we imagine that we are the ones who are struggling, it is Christ struggling in us. We can only, as it were, be victors. We can only win the war because Christ has already won the war. We can only win if we invite Christ to be the one struggling in and with and through us. Ultimately, the victory is always God's. If one looks at the tradition and the ways in which this was used in positive, in a positive sense, we find exactly the things that we've been emphasizing throughout this course. There is a daily struggle for virtue and against sin, which is symbolized powerfully in the early church in the experience of the martyrs. And if you read the most famous of these, the martyrdom of Saints Perpetua and Felicity, there's a very powerful vision, a kind of a dream, in which Saint Perpetua experiences her imminent death as a kind of gladiatorial struggle. She is literally transformed into a gladiator fighting the devil, and that's what it means to bear witness to the faith. So the bearing witness of the martyrs becomes the origin of the ascetical struggle of every Christian, the ascetic who struggles in the arena of the heart against the demonic enemy. And as I've mentioned, or just briefly mentioned in this article, that's the subject of Evagrius's Practikos, and in a particular way, he emphasizes anti-resis, the whole notion of the subject of his book, the anti-retikos, that one of the weapons we have is to be able to contradict temptation with verses taken from the scriptures. But the other important weapons we have, or you might say remedies against the misuse of our tendency towards reaching out vigorously and effectively, the ways of making sure that that energy is proper and effective are simply the ordinary tasks of Christian asceticism: fasting, keeping vigil, psalmody, prayer, and engaging in compassionate acts for others. And I've, in the last paragraph, mentioned a few of the texts that are important, or I should say are texts in which you will find this theme of spiritual warfare or inner struggle particularly emphasized. One finds it in the Philokalia, in the Eastern Orthodox tradition. One finds it especially in the spiritual ladder of St. John Climacus, this text that is read every Lent by every Orthodox monk and nun. It's a very important image for St. Ignatius Loyola in the spiritual exercises. And remember that St. Ignatius himself trained as a soldier and saw his members of the Society of Jesus as being knights for Christ. This martial or military language very strongly underlies the tradition of spiritual exercises that one finds in St. Ignatius. And a spiritual classic, a perennial classic, is the text The Spiritual Combat, which is all about our struggle against sin and our struggle to attain virtue. So I think one needs to be aware of the importance of this notion of spiritual warfare, but if one's going to use it or whenever one encounters it, it's important, again, to be aware of particularly the three things that I mentioned at the very beginning, that it is a struggle against demons, against the demonic, against sin, and not against other people, that it has to do with very ordinary activities, and it is experienced constantly and not just in extraordinarily spiritually bizarre or exotic kinds of ways. And finally, that one must always remember that it is Christ who is the true victor of all the struggles in the heart.